Life on the river was the best. She could hardly remember her existence back on Earth, working in a Gov Central design bureau to improve VAC train carriages. That was somebody else's existence. A quarter of an hour before they were due to cast off, Rosemary stood on the open bridge, which took up the forward quarter of the superstructure's top deck. Paul Manani had joined her after he had led his horse up the gangplank, tethering it on the aft deck. Now the two of them watched the colonists embarking. Children and adults alike shuffled round. The children were mostly gathered round the horse, patting and stroking it gently. Shoulder bags and larger cases were strewn about over the dark planking. The sound of several heated arguments drifted up to the top deck. Nobody had thought to count how many people were coming on board. Now the boat was overladen, and latecomers were reluctant to find another berth on one of the other ships. "You've got your ivets organized well," she told the supervisor. "I don't think I've ever seen the gear stowed so professionally before. They finished over an hour ago. The harbour master ought to nab them from you and put them to work as stevedores." "'Hmm," Paul said. Vorix, who was lying on the deck behind them, gave an uneasy growl. Rosemary grinned at that. Sometimes she wasn't sure who was bonded to who. "Something wrong?" she asked. "Someone, actually. They've got themselves a leader. He's going to be trouble, Rosemary. I know he is. You'll keep them in line. Hell, you supered five settlements, and all of them wound up viable. If you can't do it, nobody can." "Thanks. You're on a pretty tight ship yourself." "Keep an eye out for yourself this time, Pole. There's people gone missing up in Schuster County recently. Rumor has it the governor's none too happy." "Yeah?" "The Heisel is carrying a marshal upriver, going to have a scout round. I wonder if there's a bounty for finding them. The governor doesn't like homesteaders ducking out of their settlement contract. It sets a bad example. Everyone would come and live in Durringham otherwise. From what I hear, they want to find out what happened to them, not where they are." "Oh? They just vanished. No sign of a fight. Left all their gear and animals behind." "Fine. Well, I'll keep alert." He took a broad-rimmed hat out of the pack at his feet. It was yellow-green in colour, much stained. "Are we sharing a bunk this trip, Rose?" "No chance." She leant further over the rail to scan the foredeck for her four children, who, along with two stokers, were her only other crew. "I've got me a brand-new ivet as my second stoker, Barry McCarple. He's 19. Real talented mechanic on both sides of the sheets. I think it shocks my eldest boy. That is, when he actually stops boffing the colonists' daughters himself." "Fine." Vorix let out a plaintive whine and dropped his head onto his forepaws. "When are you back in Schuster County next?" Pole asked. "A couple of months, maybe three. I'm taking a group up to Killeen County on the Dibwa tributary next time out. After that, I'll be up in your area. Want me to visit?" He settled the hat on his head, working out agendas and timescales in his mind. "No, it's too soon. This bunch won't have exhausted their gear by then. Make it 9 or 10 months. Let them feel a little deprivation. We'll be able to flog them a bar of soap for 50 fuse dollars by then." "That's a date." They shook on it and turned back to watch the quarrelling colonists below. Swithland cast off more or less on time. Rosemary's eldest boy, Carl, a strapping 15-year-old, ran along the deck shouting orders to the colonists who were helping with the cables. A cheer went up from the passengers as the paddles started turning and they moved away from the quay. Rosemary was in the bridge herself. The harbour didn't have much spare water anyway, and Swithland was sluggish, with a full hold of logs for the furnace, the colonists, their gear, and enough food to last them 3 weeks. She steered past the end of the quay and out into the centre of the artificial lagoon. The furnace was burning furiously, twin stacks sending out a high plume of grey-blue smoke. Standing on the prow, Carl gave her a smiling thumbs up. "He's going to break a lot of female hearts, that one," she thought proudly. For once there wasn't a rain cloud to be seen, and the forward sweep mass detector showed her a clean channel. Rosemary gave a horn a single toot, and pushed both paddle control levers forward, moving out of the harbour and on to her beloved untamed river that stretched away into the unknown. How could life possibly be better than this?